I'm moved this week by the first reading, which is where I want to begin, which is this famous story, this famous scene in which Solomon, who's been given the kingship of his father David, is offered by God this opportunity to ask for whatever he wants. It asks for what you want and I'll give it to you. And Solomon's response is, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding. I guess it says understanding, that I may know how to rule this people that you've placed me at their head. And the Lord is very pleased with this request. He's very pleased that when given an opportunity to ask for what he wanted, he didn't ask for wealth, he didn't ask for a long life or anything like that, but that he asked for understanding. And so he gives him this gift in abundance and says, never on the face of the earth will anybody have been as wise or understanding as you. And I want to kind of begin there, and I want to maybe examine briefly what wisdom and understanding are, as opposed to, say, knowledge, right? Those would be the three intellectual virtues. Knowledge has to do with sort of knowing, having knowledge about concrete things, right? So I can know what cheese tastes like, or I can know that 2 + 2 = 4, or I can know what 2 is. That's the sort of the basic intellectual activity. But when we get beyond that, we look at understanding and wisdom, and they do things with that knowledge. So understanding is more a knowledge of how the things that we know, you know, what they mean and how they relate to one another. And wisdom, which is maybe the most important of all the intellectual virtues, wisdom is the understanding of the first cause of all things and the ability to order goods. So in other words, you could almost say that, and this is an absurd impoverishment of it, but you could almost say that wisdom is perspective, right? Wisdom is the ability to take a step back and not only recognize goods and know, understand what they are and how they relate to each other, but understand the whole big picture, understand what is ultimately good and how those goods should be ordered and what it is that we should ultimately direct ourselves towards. I think wisdom is something important for us to reflect on, and it's something important for us to pray for. Because I would say we live in a world that has a tremendous amount of knowledge, but very, very little wisdom. And this is problematic, right? And in fact, the mechanism of how modernity has worked is, as we have gained knowledge about how the world works, about the things in the world, it almost seems that the more we know, the more wisdom recedes. We have lost sight of the meaning of things, and we've lost sight of the ultimate goods of things, right? And in fact, the more we know about how the world works, the more we're able to manipulate the world around us. It's almost as if we've stopped caring about the meaning of things. And this is what Pope Benedict says when he says that we live in a dictatorship of relativism. We no longer ask ourselves the question of what's true. We simply ask ourselves, what can I do to the world around me? How can I manipulate the world so I can live my life as I decide, as I want to live it? This might be the stupidest example I've ever used, but I think it might be helpful for its simplicity. And I haven't thought about it in 20 years, and it came to me this morning, so I'll trust the Holy Spirit. But when I was a young boy, maybe like 9 or 10 years old, I got for a birthday gift a gift certificate to Target, which when you're very young is an exciting thing, because usually I go to Target with my mom, and if I want something, I have to ask her for it and just hope that she'll be generous enough to give it to me. But to have a gift certificate of my own as my birthday gift, it was like a little bit of an experience, like a test in freedom, right? I have resources that are under my command, and I can dispose those resources as I will. It's a very exciting thing. So next time my mom goes to Target to do her whatever it is moms buy at Targets, I went with her, and this is the first sign that there's a problem. I had no idea what I wanted to buy, right? There was no particular thing that I wanted, but I knew that I had this money and I was going to go to Target and I was going to spend it. And so what I came across, I don't know why I remember this, but what I came across is a coffee mug with Disney's Aladdin on it. And upon seeing it, I decided this is what I want to spend my gift certificate on. And my mom, I still remember, looks at me and says, that's what you want, really? And I said, yep, that's what I want, you know? And it was a totally impulsive thing, right? And you might be thinking to yourself, so first of all, I didn't drink coffee. I was 9 years old. And you might be thinking, well, maybe he really loved Aladdin. And then, no, that's not true. I just, you know, I saw it. I was taken in the moment. I thought that it was a good thing, and I wanted it. And so that's what I spent my birthday money on. And I guess when I compare my experience to my mother's, you know, my mother's skepticism is asking, is this really what you want? Is she has a little bit more perspective, right? She has a little bit more wisdom. She's not so bound to the desire of the moment. She's able to say, okay, I recognize that this has caught your eye, but if you are a little bit patient, you probably will find something that will be a better use of your money. Maybe it was also her wisdom as a parent that she didn't stop me from buying the Aladdin coffee mug. So after making the comment, I said, yes, that's what I want, and I bought it. I used it once. I had my mom make me hot coffee so I could drink out of my Aladdin mug. And other than that, it sat in the closet for years and years. It was a total waste. And so I had maybe knowledge of this Aladdin coffee mug, but what I lacked was wisdom. What I lacked was the perspective to be able to step back and say, how does this relate to the totality of goods? You know, is this really the thing for me to put my very limited resources in? I didn't have that wisdom. That, by the way, is why we often associate wisdom with age, although we want to be careful with that because not everybody who's wise is old and not everybody who's old is wise, but we typically associate wisdom with age, so, such that if a young person is wise, we even say, we even say that he's wise beyond his years, you know. And we also want to understand, if we realize this is what wisdom is a sense of the big picture and how goods relate to each other and how we should order them, then we remember that wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing, and that there are a lot of people in this world who know a lot of things who are not very wise. In fact, I work in academia, and you find this an academia par excellence. There are a lot of people with very impressive intellectual pedigrees who spent all their lives in schools and have tons of degrees who are utter fools. Right? In fact, the most absurd places that you can find in our modern culture is universities. You go sit into a university classroom, and if it's been a while since you've been to college, you might even be surprised at how bad things have gotten. But to sit in many university classrooms and listen to professors talk is an exercise in absurdity. It's because we have all sorts of knowledge, but we have lost the sense of what the human person is, what the truth is, and the importance of aligning ourselves to the truth. I've been reading a lot lately about the life of John Paul II, and this was something that was really central. John Paul II was an apostle of truth. And we know that he lived much of his life, and he did much of his early ministry, under the oppression of two totalitarian governments. So first Poland was occupied by the Nazis, then it was occupied by the socialists. And one of the fights that John Paul II really took up and carried into his papacy and all throughout his life is the fight for people's right to truth. And he said, one of the fundamental things that makes us human is that we have the ability to seek the truth, to try to understand it, and the freedom to try to conform our lives to the truth. He said that's one of the things that the totalitarian governments that ruled over Poland tried to restrict. It tried to restrict man's access to the truth. Right? And he said one of those truths, maybe the fundamental truth about man, is that man is a religious being. Therefore, if you take away man's right to know the truth of his faith, and if you take away his freedom to conform himself to the truth of his faith, you are robbing man of the ability to find that fundamental fulfillment for which he was made. And so this freedom to know the truth and then to conform yourself to the truth, and teaching that the fundamental truth about man is that man is a religious being, that he was made for God, and that he's not satisfied until he's in union with God. His heart is restless until it rests in God. This is a truth that John Paul II spent his whole life teaching and fighting for. So how does this relate to the gospel today? I think it's this. It's this wonderful parable about the treasure that one finds in the field and the pearl of great price. And there's a rhythm to these two images. So it has to do with somebody finding something very valuable, but also recognizing its value, and specifically recognizing its value in relationship to everything else that he has. In both circumstances, the man finds the treasure in the field and says he buries it and he sells all that he owns that he may come back and buy that treasure. The merchant finds the pearl of great price, and then so that he may buy it, he sells everything that he owns to come back and find that pearl of great price. And what this means is that in both of these images, the man recognizes not only that the thing is valuable, but he has the wisdom to know that it's more valuable than everything else that he owns, and that it's worth selling everything else that he has for that treasure. And that's what he tells us the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is the thing that that we find it, and if we are wise enough to recognize its value, we will say, I will give away everything else that I have in order to buy that treasure. Now, if the man lacks wisdom and fails to recognize its value in relationship to everything else, he may say, that's a nice treasure, or that's a nice pearl, but I don't want it. I don't want to it costs too much. I don't want to give up everything else that I have to buy it. And so that man will leave the treasure in the field where he found it and go about his business. This is, I think, the temptation that many of us face. And I want to use an example. I hesitate to use it because it's a controversial subject, and I want to talk about like NFP, and that can become. And I think last week was NFP Sunday, so you might have heard about it last Sunday, but. I think it's actually a really good example of the point that I'm trying to illustrate about what happens when we lose perspective about the whole of man. If we actually sit down and look at what the church proposes to married couples when it talks about NFP, if we set aside any sort of ideological problems we have with it or any sense of guilt or anger about it, if we listen to what the church is proposing, I think most people would say, yeah, these are good things. If we actually examine what the church is proposing, and it's a way of responsibly planning our family that by which we grow in self-mastery, we grow in communication. It's more natural. It's more healthy for a man could say that this is more healthy for my wife. It more respects her body and her health and her physical well-being. It helps us to learn other ways of expressing love to each other. All these things. It follows God's plan for marriage. I don't think anybody would look at those things and say that they're bad. I think anybody that's honest and open can say, yeah, these are good things the church is proposing. So why do so many of us reject this teaching? Because it costs too much. It's not that we don't see the good of what's being proposed. It's that we lack the wisdom to see how what God's plan for our lives is, what the meaning of the human person is, what the meaning of marital love is. We've lost that perspective, we lost that wisdom. And so we're simply looking at the things and making a value judgment and say, yeah, this thing may be good, this pearl may be attractive and it would be nice to have it, but it costs too much and I don't want to buy it. And so I use this one example. I don't mean this to be an NFP homily, but I think it's actually a really good example of the danger that comes when we lose wisdom. Or when we haven't formed ourselves in wisdom, when we simply have knowledge, but we don't go further and gain understanding. We don't learn more about what the human person really is and in what our perfection and happiness and fulfillment lies. We don't go that deeper sense and allow the gospel and the church to help us form a bigger picture and understanding what man's final goods are. It's very, very important for us, brothers and sisters, to first of all, for ourselves, and then so that we can witness to the world, to grow in wisdom. To develop that bigger picture, to really develop a strong anthropology, to understand what man is, the truth about the human person, so that we can live and help others live according to that truth, because that's where we're gonna find happiness. That's where we're gonna find fulfillment. And then one last little plug, and maybe this is a little bit shameless, but I wanna make a plug for Catholic education for this very reason. And if you have young children, then maybe what I'm asking you to do is to consider making the sacrifices to send your kids to Catholic school. Or if you don't, I'm asking you to consider supporting Catholic education in some other ways, because there's a lot of reasons people send their kids to Catholic schools. I've learned this in my years as a school president. Some people send them to Catholic schools because they want a private school, right? They think it's a safer, better environment. Some people want it because private schools tend to be a little bit better and they think they might, do a better job of getting my kid into college. Some people, and this is an even better reason, send their kid there because they can learn about their faith, they can learn theology, learn religion in the schools. And those are all good things, but I would say as a school leader that that's not the most important thing that Catholic schools do. The most important thing that a Catholic school does is it informs the worldview of its students, and it teaches them wisdom, because the Catholic school, the Catholic Church is the expert on the human person. And so a Catholic school, better than anybody else, is going to be able to teach its students the fullness of truth and the fullness of what the human person is and how the human person can live according to the truth of his own existence and how he can direct himself as a religious being and direct his life totally towards God. And so I think I didn't write a good ending to this homily. Seek wisdom, support Catholic schools. Thank you.